So, would God give you a job without giving you the tools? Would God give you a mission without provision? Would God give you a challenge without the strength to follow through? Can we believe the promises in the Bible? And by the way, when I come back in September, I'm doing a series for you on promises. Can we believe promises like Philippians 4:19? And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. My God will provide all of your needs, take care of all of your needs. Really? I need wisdom. Is God going to provide that? I need self-control. Is God going to give that? I need friends. Is God going to provide that? Are they going to bring the friends? Is he going to bring the friends? And I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. It's a true story, and I'll finish it at the end of the sermon. Will God provide? If I have to leave my mother, who has Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, and might not have that long to live, will God provide if I leave her and follow my husband because God has called him to go pastor a church in Canada? Will God provide? So what do you do? A little bit of a conundrum every now and then, right? So that's where we find Elijah today. Elijah is in a village called Zarephath, and there's a woman there. And Elijah and this woman are going to be faced with this question. Will God provide? If God has given the mission, will God give the provision? So read with me. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed or assigned or given the job. I've directed a widow there to supply you with food. Let's stop there for a second. And Ted, you can put the slide of the map up there if you have that. So for the last year, if you remember from last week, Elijah went to Ahab and Jezebel and he said to them, God's not impressed with you with this Baal stuff that you're doing. So it's not going to rain again until I say so. God will tell me when. And then he has to flee from them and he goes to Cherith, the Cherith Brook, and he settles at the Cherith Brook. There God provided for him every morning and every evening bread and meat with the ravens that came, and the brook had water. So he stayed in the Zarephath ravine for a whole year. The ravine started drying up, and then God says, Elijah, time for you to go to Zarephath. So if you look at where Zarephath is, it's about 160 kilometers, that's 100 miles, west from where Cherith would be. For him to get to Zarephath, he had to go through that dry desert, which by now is even worse than it was because of the year of drought. Not just that, he has to go past Jezreel, where Ahab lived, who really didn't like him right now. And of course, his name was on every Israel's most wanted poster for what he did. So this is what God says, go to Zarephath. Now, Zarephath, that's a different kettle of fish. Zarephath was the center of the Baal cult that I told you about last week. A cult that served two idols called Baal and then his female cohort, Asherah. A cult that promoted temple prostitution, child sacrifice, that went against everything that God stood for. Zarephath was the epicenter of all of that. Zarephath was also the hometown of the king of Sidon. Can you remember his name? We actually read it last week. His name was Ethbaal, the servant of Baal. It's his hometown. And he had a daughter. Can you remember her name? You actually know her name. Jezebel, Ahab's wife, the one who paid the prophets of Baal, the one who put this cult in the center of Israel and tried to make it the cult of their whole kingdom. So God sends Elijah right into the lion's den. And when you look at it, it sounds a little strange, right? So the mission doesn't look that important. Let's go meet this widow. The journey is quite the journey. And then it sounds wrong that the widow would feed him. Wouldn't God send him to go take care of the widow? So I'm sure he wondered about this. So read with me. Verse 10. So he, Elijah, went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me please a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Wow. Could a woman be more destitute than that? "I'm sorry, Elijah. Just this little flour and oil. And this is going to be our last meal, and I don't even have enough for us. All that's left for me and my son is to eat this and then to wait it out until we die." She has nothing left. Just fear and waiting to die. And yet, she has an assignment from God. Remember that verse that I read? And God directed her to provide Elijah with food. She has an assignment. Here is your mission. You need to provide Elijah with food. And she's confronted by our question. Will God give a mission without giving the provision? "Sorry, Elijah, I have nothing." Verse 13. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but," and there's your biblical but "first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." Do you see what Elijah does? Elijah doesn't minimize the problem. Elijah maximizes the promise. He doesn't say, "Oh my goodness, I see, there's no, but it's okay. Don't worry about that." No, he maximizes the promise. He says, "Go make me a piece of bread first. And when you've made me the piece of bread, don't worry about that. Then take care of yourself." He minimizes the problem, maximizes the promise. What do? We maximize the problem and minimize the promise, right? How often do we do that? Can we take a page from his book? Why could Elijah do this? Why could Elijah say, "I can maximize the promise here"? Because Elijah remembered who God was. He recalled what God did. Elijah remembered, "I was in Kereth in the brook, and God gave water. I was in Kereth in the brook, and God gave meat and bread through ravens." See, that's what faith does. It remembers. And you? Won't the God who gave you grace in your youth be the God who gives you grace in your old age? Won't the God who heard your call for a job or what you needed be the one who provides for what you need to do that job or whatever you need to tackle? Won't he do that? Won't the God who gave you his care and his love yesterday and last week give you his care and his love this week and the week following and the week following? See, here's the thing about faith, and especially what we spoke about last week, steadfast faith. It has good recollection. It remembers. It remembers what God did. It remembers who God is. It remembers the deeds of the Lord, and it doesn't make spiritual wimps who say, oh, I don't know if God's going to take care of me. I don't know if God's going to be there. It makes spiritual giants who remember God. Elijah looks at Zarephath and it's like, holy mackerel, this is going to be tough. But then Elijah says, so the God who took care of me when I had to walk into that palace and Ahab and Jezebel were there, he took care of me. Then God took care of me in Kereth. And then God took care of me when I had to travel to Zarephath. So God went 3 for 3. Won't this God who went 3 for 3 also be the God who goes 4 for 4? Or in our case, has God ever taken care of you? Has God ever provided for you? I know we're Presbyterians, right? So it's hard to move our bodies and our hands. But can we try something? If God has ever taken care of you, or God has ever provided for you, can you put up your hand, please? I want to do both, because he's done so much for me. Can you see that? So here's the question. Will you remember that? Don't you think the God who took care of you last week is going to continue that? Has God forgotten? No, he hasn't. Will God continue to provide? Of course he will continue to provide. That is who he is. He has never changed. God has never changed. He is who he is. I am who I am. I will be who I need to be. I will become who I need to become. I'm the first, the last. I'm the everything. He has never changed. God will provide. When God gives the mission, God gives the provision. But faith needs to be steadfast. And I need to remember. And when I have a steadfast faith, you know what happens? It becomes contagious. Look at verse 15. She, the widow, went away, and she did as Elijah had told her. Leave it on there, Ted. She went away and did what Elijah had told. Don't read that too fast. She didn't go away and say, oh my goodness, this is never going to work. Oh my goodness, look at poor me. Oh, sitting there moaning, groaning, grumping. Look what she did. She went and she did. And then it says, so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. She went and she did. I get so overwhelmed by this that, because what do? I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to leave and I'm just going to sit there and die. But faith also asks obedience. Even when it looks impossible. Because here's the thing that'll happen. Favor follows obedience. Favor follows obedience. I know we're Presbyterians. We don't put up our hands easily, and we don't speak in church easily. I'm going to challenge you again. Will you say that to someone close to you out loud? Faith follows obedience. Can you try that? Thank you. Wow, and the roof did not come down. Faith follows obedience. When we are obedient, God is always there, and God will provide. God will not give a mission without giving the provision. But I also have to be obedient. I have to leave Zarephath and go. I have to leave Kereth and go to Zarephath, even if Zarephath is as scary as Baal. Of course, favor follows obedience. Is it always easy? Do you want favor? Then obey. Ask Noah about obedience. Was it easy? God says, go build an ark in the middle of the desert. It's like in, really? Build. It's going to be a huge rain. You're going to need a boat. Really? Favor follows obedience. Ask Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. He was told to go wash himself in the river 7 times. He did that, and he was cured. He didn't say, oh, I don't think 7 is enough. Maybe try 10, maybe try 15, maybe try 20. Favor follows obedience. Ezekiel had to lie on his right side for 390 days, and then 40 days on his left side to do what God asked him. Favor follows obedience. Peter could walk on water only when he got out of the boat because he was obedient. Steadfast faith asks obedience, and favor will follow obedience. And in your family, sickness comes to your kids, or addictions come into your family, or some of your folks, they move into this pigsty prodigal inn. And what do? God will not give a mission without giving provision. He will give you what you need when you need it. Elijah was obedient, and this woman was obedient, and read with me. So there was food every day for Elijah, for the woman, and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord that was spoken by Elijah. Elijah learned God would give what he needed when he needed. The widow learned God would give what she needed when she needed. And now I'm taking you back to the story that I started in the beginning. And Elsie and my family learned that God would give what you needed when you need it. Because let me tell you the story. February 9th, 2002. Elsie had to say goodbye to her mother, who had Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And she knew that the chances of her ever seeing her mother alive again were slim to none. She had to kiss her and hug her, get on a plane and fly away to Canada with me, because I had a calling from God to be here. Will God give a mission without provision? So we come here to this amazing place called Central. And God blesses us in so much abundance. And we live here, and we start doing our thing. And in June, Elsie gets a call from her brother, and he says, Elsie, you better come, Mom's dying. Before we left South Africa, we put away some money to be able to buy a ticket, because we knew Elsie would have to fly back to go bury mother. So Elsie gets on the plane, she flies back, she stays a month. Mom does not die. She comes back. That was it. 3 weeks, Elsie's back. We were in Sears, that does not exist anymore, in the mall. And Elsie gets the call from her brother. Mom passed away. And Elsie and I the first thing we say is, you have to go bury your mother. But at that stage, we were really poor, and you know that. When you leave, and many of my South African friends know this, when you leave and you take everything you have and you make that into money, and at that stage you divide it by 10, you don't have much left. And then you start off as a 16-year-old boy and girl in this place. You don't have credit. You don't even get a credit card. And we didn't have money to send Elsie back to go bury her mother. I didn't say a word. I came and I stood here on the Sunday and I said, we need your prayers. Elsie's mom passed away. Thank you for your prayers. Monday's my day off. I don't go to the office. Tuesday, I come to the office and I want to open the door, but it's stuck a little bit. So I push and I get in and I look what's behind the door, and there's an envelope that was keeping the door stuck. Take it out, and on the envelope is written, this is for Elsie to buy a ticket to go bury her mother. $2,200. Do you know what a plane ticket cost to go to South Africa? $2,200. To this day, I don't know where that money, I know it came from here, but who gave it? I don't know. Will God give a mission and not give the provision? She said, I'll go. We have to go. And God provided what we needed, when we need it. Perhaps you're here today because you needed to hear that. You might not need a little bit of flour or a bit of oil or even a plane ticket. But maybe you need wisdom. Maybe you need guidance. Maybe you need strength, a bit of self-control. I don't know. Can you hear this today? God will provide what you need when you need it. But you're saying, but I think I want it now and I want it all. Can I say this to you again? He's not just going to give it now and all because you want it. He'll give it when you need it. And he'll give what you need. And you're saying, but I don't know if I have the strength to face tomorrow. Can I say something to you? It's not tomorrow yet. Okay? And when tomorrow comes, he'll provide what you need when you need it. So here's the thing. Your flour hasn't run out yet. And your little bit of oil is not dried up yet. And you're not dying of hunger yet. Because you are being taken care of by a God who calls himself. And I know you know it differently. They got the word wrong. A God who calls himself Yahweh Yireh. You know it as Jehovah Jireh. Yahweh Yireh. The God who sees. And the God who provides. You are loved by this God. He has tethered himself to you in Jesus Christ, his Son, and he gave everything. He will provide for you. He will take care of you. So please, will you breathe? Breathe in his hope and his help, and then go home and go sleep well tonight. For the God who is there for you today is already involved in your tomorrow. And he will give what you need when you need it. Because he never gives a mission without giving the provision. Amen. We sang it this morning, Lord, when we sang about honey in the rock and water from the stone, manna on the ground. No matter where I go, I don't need to worry. Now that I know that everything I need, you've got. There's honey in the rock. Help us, Lord, to see the honey and not focus on the rock. Help us to see the water and not the stones. Help us to see the manna and not the dry earth. And help us to look up and know that you are there and you are God. Before I ask you, give. Before I praise, you've already lifted my spirit. How amazing are you? We love you, Lord, with all that is in us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.